radio audience. This is Graham McNamee speaking. Again, we bring you a period of delightful entertainment sponsored by Coca-Cola. That pure drink of natural flavors served 9 million times a day. Coca-Cola presents popular music played in an unusual way by an unusual orchestra. An all-string orchestra conducted by Leonard Joy. And an interview with another outstanding sports figure by the famous sports writer, Grantland Rice. We dedicate this program to the pause that refreshes. The pause that refreshes, as everybody knows, is the brief time we take to enjoy an ice-cold Coca-Cola. A little minute that's long enough for a big rest. First, a bubbling melody called So Sympathetic. Coca-Cola is just a drink, but what a drink. And here's a song that's just a song, but what a song. Romance. A tango this time. Sparkling and delicious. Querida.
WEEI in Boston.
We'll stop our dance for a moment, and while the members of the orchestra pause and refresh themselves, let us relax in our easy chairs. Just the place to enjoy an ice-cold bottle of Coca-Cola and hear Grantland Rice, the foremost authority on sports, interview one of the outstanding professional golfers of the United States and the world, another celebrity who had to be good to get where he is. His name is Stuart Maiden. Stuart Maiden was the man who gave Bobby Jones his first golf lesson when Bobby was about 6 or 7 years old. Who taught him his famous stroke and directed Bobby's golf career for over 15 years. He also taught Alexis Sterling, 3 times national champion. Grant Rice will interview Stuart Maiden on the interesting subject of Bobby Jones. Come in, Grant.
Well, Stuart, there was once a kid by the name of Bobby Jones who studied and copied your golf swing. He seems to have done pretty well with it here and there. In fact, I think you will have to admit that your pupil is the greatest golf genius of the age, possibly of all ages. Almost everybody would like to know how a genius gets started and what makes him a genius. Stuart, when was the first time you ever saw Bobby Jones?
Why, at his father's house one Sunday afternoon, a kid about 5 years old came into the room.
First time you ever thought he would make a good golfer. How old was he, Stuart?
Well, Grant, he was a good golfer the first time I ever saw him swing. He was then about 7. He had good footwork, body balance, and rhythm, which are the most important things in any golf swing. He was a serious little fellow, and he worked hard at it. He could get good distance with his little light club because he hit the ball the right way.
Stuart, he must have been like several of our great violin players who were wonders at the age of 8 or 9. How much did you have to teach him?
Very little. I don't believe in teaching too many things and confusing your pupils. I first changed his grip to the overlapping, the one he uses now. He had no weakness with any club. I'd just watch him and check him up on one or two slight faults now and then. He'd the two main things, bounce, rhythm. They never need any correction. Even at the age of 9, he could play around at 80.
When Bob was a kid around age 8 or 9, did he have any trouble, Stuart? Slicing, hooking, or topping a ball?
Well, not as much as he has now. I know he was a better mashie player at 14 than he is today. Even when he was 7, he knew enough to shift his weight and let his hand swing the club head smoothly when he hit at the ball.
At just what point, Stuart, did you think he was going to make a champion, a real champion?
Well, I'll tell you, Grant. I knew he had as good a swing as anyone would want. He was good enough at 13 to win a championship. But there are many good golf swings. I knew he was keen to win, and that always helped. But I knew a champion was coming one day. He played a mashie niblet pitch 2 feet from the cup and then broke the club.
You don't mean he was sore because he hadn't holed out or hit the pin, Stuart, did?
No, that had nothing to do with it. He was sore because he hadn't made the shot the way he was trying to. He was honest with himself. He was playing one kind of a shot and got another. Because the ball was close to the hole, they'd not choose his faulty execution. He was never satisfied with anything but perfect control of himself and the club, no matter where the ball stopped. Most golfers don't care how they hit the ball so long as it stops near the cup.
I know. People used to criticize Bob because they didn't know what was going on in his young mind. He was only sore at himself because he hated flaws in his own way. Why do you suppose these 18-hole matches bother him, Stuart?
They ought not to, Grant. He shouldn't care whether a golf match was 1 hole, 3 holes, 16 holes or 18 holes. The 18-hole worry is all nonsense as far as he's concerned, and I hope he's listening.
Was Bobby an easy pupil to handle, sir?
About the easiest any instructor ever had. That is as far as his golf was concerned. At East Lake, it was 520 yards long. He was 12 years old. And I have seen him reach his green repeatedly with a drive and a spoon and carry right into the middle of the green. By then, he had a good pair of hands and strong wrists, and he knew how to use them without letting his body interfere.
Now, there's one important thing, Stuart. Thousands of mothers and fathers would like to get a tip. Is it better for young boys and girls to get set instruction or to watch, study, and copy good players in a natural way?
Well, Grant, I would say, just talking to them as I was talking to themselves, don't give them too much instruction. Let them watch good players once in a while and try and go ahead and swing the best way they can. And if there's anything very much out of order with them, get somebody to look them over and tell them right at once what to go ahead and do. All they need is a good pro to check them up once in a while. If there's any faults, he'll soon find them out before they get bad habits. But the kid must get the right mental picture to work on. And even then, he's going to have a hard job if he's going to try to emulate Bobby Jones, because there's only one.
I heard he was, Stuart. Thanks a lot, Grant, and thank you, Stuart Maiden. Next week, Grant Rice will introduce us to another celebrity in sports at this same hour. Don't miss it. And now, We're off to a fresh start with more music. The Coca-Cola Orchestra playing Why Do You Suppose? Recognize this one by its refreshing sparkle, the bubble from Firefly.
teaming up with one another. Thank the horse that pulled our buggy that night. Thank the dog for being merry and bright. Thank the June night. Thank the moonlight that caressed us from above. And thank goodness for the marriage and for that baby carriage. For I have no one to love.
Another of the Coca-Cola programs, featuring Grant and Rice and Stuart Maiden this evening with Leonard Joy and the Coca-Cola Orchestra, a program of tingling music and sparkling news of sport. This time, once again, you'll hear the Coca-Cola Orchestra, and Grant and Rice will interview another outstanding figure in the world of sports, James J. Corbett, Gentleman Jim, the man who put John L. Sullivan away. Listen in. Everybody's invited. This is Graham McNamee bidding you good night, all, and refreshing rest.
The Coca-Cola Top Notchers have come to you from the New York studios of the National Broadcasting Company.